Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 14. And I want to encourage you to grab your Bible. We're going to look at quite a few verses of Scripture in this chapter. The reason is because everything that happens from verse 27 to the end of the chapter happens in one night. Now, I would like for us to look at the entire night. I've titled the message, This Night. Verse 27 here in Mark 14 says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night." You'll all be offended because of me this night. What a tragic thing to hear him say. They just heard him say to them, back up in verse 18, "One of you which eateth with me shall betray me." They just heard him say that. And it says, "They began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, one by one, Is it I?" Can you imagine? The Lord saying, "One of you is going to betray me." And one by one they say, "Is it I?" And now he's telling them in verse 27, "All ye shall be offended." You're going to stumble. That's what he's saying. That's what offended means. You're going to be made to offend because of me this night, because of what is about to happen tonight. What a night. What a night. Verse 27 goes on to say, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." Our Lord never leaves his people. Never. Never does he leave his people without the hope of the gospel. He always gives his people the hope of the gospel. He said, an offense is going to take place tonight. But it's for this purpose. Your shepherd is going to be smitten so his sheep can flee. That's the reason. The shepherd is going to be smitten so all the sheep can flee. He said that's what was written in the Word of God, and that's what is about to be done. That was written in Zechariah 13. And he said that's exactly what is about to be done. I'm going to secure that deliverance, that fleeing. I'm going to allow myself to be smitten of God to secure that for you. All of my sheep. Now he said here in Mark 14, verse 28, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." He told them exactly what was going to happen. Exactly. He said, "I'm going to lay down my life." And he said, "Then I'm going to take it again." He said, "After I am risen, I will see you in Galilee." He told them before it happened. They should have known, and there are so many things that we ought to know from his word. He told us what will happen. Verse 29 says, "But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." You know, we need to be careful what we boast of, don't we? We need to be so careful. When it comes to this flesh, never say never. Never say never. Our sinful wickedness has a way of taking something that appears to be a good motive. What he said appeared to be a good thing, but it just pours pride all over it. Our flesh, our wicked flesh, has a way of pouring pride and selfishness all over it. And that pride will ruin us. It'll ruin us. Verse 30, "And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." He said, before this night is over, and that rooster out there crows two times, you're going to deny me three times. Peter was so proud of himself. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight, on this night. Verse 31 says, but he spake the more vehemently to God. He's speaking to God arrogantly, confidently. He's arguing with God. That's what he's doing. He spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now we know the end of this story, don't we? We know the story of Peter. We know what happened. Peter is making a fool out of himself right now. This tongue makes fools out of all of us. May God teach all of us to say, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or I'll do that. If God wills. God willing, by God's grace, I won't do this or I won't do that. My life is at the mercy of His will. Everything is at the mercy of whatever He will allow me to do or not allow me to do. If He takes His hand off of me for 1 second, if He takes His hand off of any of us for 1 second, we're all capable of anything. All of us. And the reason is because we're covered from head to toe with sin. We are. We're covered from head to toe with sin. That's the whole reason for this night. Sin. That's the whole reason for this night. Verse 32 says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. What a precious garden that is. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. You know, it's amazing. After announcing all of that arrogant pride to the Lord, after everything Peter just said to him, he declared this to the face of God Almighty. He said, this is what I'm going to do, telling God what he's going to do. It's amazing that the Lord allowed him to come along after Peter just acted the way he did. But God was long-suffering to that poor man. He was patient with him. And that says something about how he deals with us. Our Lord is so good. He's so good. Verse 33, he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now this proves that the all-knowing God became a man for us. He became a man. Sore amazed means utterly astonished. He became utterly astonished. It means thrown into terror. It means thoroughly astounded. He experienced the absolute shock of our sin. That's hard to imagine. It's impossible to imagine. God, His Father, pressed our sin into Him right there in Gethsemane this night. And He felt the guilt. You feel guilt. And I feel guilt. It's because of sin. He felt the guilt. Our guilt. He felt the pain. He felt the sorrow. He was violently touched with the feeling of the sins that we have committed. Us, our sins in Him caused Him to be very heavy. That means in distress of mind. That's what it means, very heavy. It caused Him to be in distress of mind. That is the strongest Greek word there is for absolute anguish and depression. Can you imagine? That's God Almighty. But God made Himself to be a man. And He experienced the highest level of absolute anguish and depression that a man can experience. Verse 34, He said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. He said, I'm overcome with so much sorrow. If it were possible, I could die from it. He said, tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. His approach to God his Father was so different than Peter's approach to him. So different. Verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He knew that for this cause he came into the world. He knew that. He knew this was the entire reason he came into this world. But as the man, as the sinner's substitute, the thought of being separated from God, that's what spiritual death is, separated from God. It was so terrifying, he almost couldn't bear it. But this is what he said. The perfect man, the sinless man. He said, it's not what I will, it's what you will. Thy will be done. He was the willing substitute. He died for his people willingly. Verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Peter had just finished telling the Lord, I'm the greatest disciple you have. That's what he told him. I am literally the greatest disciple you have. May we learn that pride comes before a fall every time. Every time. Our Lord said, okay, Peter, I'm going to go pray and I want you to keep a watch. And it wasn't even 1 hour Peter was asleep. Man thinks he's something. But you know what this word right here says? Man is nothing. Man is actually nothing. Verse 38, he said, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. Can't you just see these men? He woke them up the second time and they just didn't know what to say. So ashamed. Didn't know what to say at all. Without our Lord, we can do nothing. Verse 41, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Do we not find great comfort in knowing that at all times, he knows and he understands our frame. Isn't that wonderful? At all times, he remembers that we're dust. At all times. He said, go ahead and sleep. Go on and sleep now. I know you need it. This night, this amazing night here is the defining moment in the salvation of sinners. And they're all asleep. This is the night that for all eternity God's people are going to be thanking God for. This night. And here they all are asleep. And he said, it's okay. It's okay. I'll take care of it. Isn't that wonderful? I'll handle it. You just go ahead and go to sleep. I'll do it all. And then in verse 42, he said, rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. As man, he was absolutely terrified of what he was about to confront. But as God, he was ordering every bit of it. He told them, this is what's about to happen. And he told them, this is what's about to happen. And then he would say, now this is what's about to happen. He woke them all up. He said, I'm about to be betrayed. They're coming. They're on their way right now. Verse 43, and immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. The word safely means securely. What he said was, you better hold him tight. Hold him tight. Now, how many times did our Lord just walk right through the mob that wanted to kill him, the mob that wanted to lay hands on him, throw him over a cliff? How many times did he just vanish away? How many times in the 3.5 years that Judas walked with him? What that proves to us is Judas was an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever. He did not believe that Jesus Christ was God Almighty. He did not believe that. He thought he could take him. He thought he could take him. And the only reason he did take him is because the Lord allowed himself to be taken. That's what happened right here. Judas was just the pawn that God chose to carry out this night. Verse 45, and as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. Judas came right up to him and he said, Master, Master. Not Lord, Lord. He didn't say that. Master means teacher. He said, Teacher, Teacher. And he kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and they took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. You know who that was? That was Peter. That was Peter. Peter is trying. You do have to give him that. He's trying. He's trying to do for God. And that's what men and women try to do every day. They try to help their God in this thing. They try to protect their God. But Peter is just not who he thinks he is. And neither are men and women today. We're not who we think we are. Peter was trying to cut off that man's head. He missed and he cut off his ear. And the other gospels tell us that the Lord said, Peter, put away your sword. He said, don't you realize that I could call down 12 legions of angels right now? 72,000 angels right now? Don't you realize that I'm God Almighty? That I work, I control all these things? Wait on the Lord, Peter. Look to me and be ye saved. That's always the commandment. Look to me. Stop looking to yourself. Peter was looking to himself. I've got to fix this. I have to save us. He said, look to me, Peter. Verse 48, and Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. John's gospel tells us that our Lord said, if you seek me, let these go. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel right there. The Lord said, if you seek me, you have to let them go. If you take me, you have to let them go. I'm their substitute. I'm going to die in their stead. I'm going to take their place. Verse 51, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Now, I'm sure many things could be said about this certain young man and what happened right here. It does not say who he is. It does not specifically tell us who he is. He could be one of the apostles. He could just be a bystander. I do believe he was one of God's sheep. I do believe that he was a sheep. Our Lord said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's what he just said. So I believe he was a sheep, whoever he was. And here's why. Here's what we see and what happened. They laid hold of his covering. And as he ran, his covering was ripped off of him. And verse 52 says very specifically, it points out that it was a linen cloth. Now, do you know what our Lord's body was wrapped in when they laid him in that grave? A linen cloth. That represents a sinner being freed from his sin. That's what happened at this very moment. When they laid hold of him and bound him, all of his people who are sinners were freed from their sin. That certain young man's sin being ripped off of him, and our Lord being bound in the very thing that was taken off of the sinner. Because of that transaction, they're all set free. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And that young man fled the wrath to come, didn't he? That's the good news of the gospel. He was delivered. And that's what Christ accomplished this night, right here in Gethsemane. That's what he accomplished. He freed his people from their sin by binding himself to it. That's what he was doing in that garden. Verse 53, they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the place of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. He was perfect. They couldn't find one reason to put him to death. For many bear false witness against him. They were lying on him. But their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witnesses agree together. And that's how you can identify false religion. That's how you can identify false religion. When a man stands up and gives his witness, if his witness does not agree with this witness, the Word of God, somebody's lying. And I promise it's not God. It's not the God who cannot lie. But even in the lies of these witnesses, even in their own lies, they still declared His truth. They still declared His truth. Verse 58, we heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. They thought He was talking about that marble building they'd been working on for 82 years, the temple. He was talking about Himself. A body hast thou prepared me. He said, I'm going to lay this body down and I'm going to suffer for my people. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again, having left the sins of my people in that grave. And every one of them is going to rise with me, rise in me as sinless as I am. New creatures. But as they stood there telling their lies on him, verse 60 says, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace, and he answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I am. I love how clearly our Lord declared the truth to them. I am. He deliberately said, I am. That's Jehovah in the Old Testament. Moses said, I am sent me to you. The Lord said, I am. Verse 62, He said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You're going to see me when I come back. And they will. We all will. Verse 63. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. That's what you would expect out of his enemies, isn't it? But watch this right here, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And when he went out into the porch, the cock crew. He said, I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying. And he went out onto the porch and the cock crew. Verse 69, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. I do not know this man. He cursed God. He cursed God. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. He knew what he'd done. And one of the other Gospels tells us at that moment in time, our Lord looked at him. They met eyes, and Peter knew. But do you know what happened when our Lord arose on that third day? He sent his angels. They rolled away the stone from the door. And they told those two Marys, you go tell my disciples that I'm coming to meet them. The Lord is going to meet them in Galilee. He said, you tell all of them and Peter. And the reason is because at this moment, the Lord died paying for the sins of Peter. And if we belong to him, he died paying for the sins of us. And all we can do is thank God and praise God for mercy and forgiveness through the blood he shed this night. Till next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.